If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
Morning, everybody. Afternoon, wherever you are in the world. We have got the Meghan and Harry of football sports journalism. John Richardson from the Sunny Mirror, Charlie McCann's in Gibraltar, and his Wi-Fi is magnificent this morning. Rico, I'm the only one that seems to... It's caught up with me, Meghan and Harry and all that. Were you... is it in the Richardson household? Is that something of interest for you?
Yes, well, in my drawer here, I have a personal letter from Prince William, would you believe?
Go on.
Yeah, well, you know, I did the Gary Speed book.
Yeah.
It focuses on mental issues, et cetera, et cetera. And also some of the money went to Prince William's charity, you know.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
So I actually sent him a book thinking that would be the end of it. And I was going to a game and suddenly Sue, my wife, rang me, said, there's a letter here with the Buckingham Palace stamp on it.
It's the knighthood. At last, it's the knighthood.
It's only a matter of time, John.
So I said, open it. And she was so nervous, she said, I said, I don't think it will be a knighthood, by the way. It was a personal letter.
4-6 an OBE, though, John, surely. Running in play, you would have been a short price for an OBE or an MBE.
So there we are. So it's pride of place in my drawer here.
Actually, nothing to do with Meghan and Harry, but it's a brilliant story.
I think William is related to Harry somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. Charlie, how are you? Well, you've been busy watching sport, I guess, this week.
Yeah. Well, the next week as well is fantastic. Where you've got looking forward to the North London Derby. Arsenal looking to avoid an unwanted record. I think they've not won in the last five. And in the history of Arsenal Football Club, they've never gone six games without a win against their North London rivals, and both had, of course, good wins in the Europa League. Looking forward to that. There's a Players' Championship this week. And it's a small matter of...
Oh, no! He's frozen again just when he was going to say Cheltenham, which
He's peaked too soon.
I've said to him before... I said, have you got anything up your sleeve for Cheltenham? And he went, yeah. And he was just giving it the big build-up there, wasn't he, when he froze? What's he like?
It's going to be very strange, Cheltenham, isn't it, this year? But
yeah, listen, what I was going to lead on, and he teed me up beautifully. I don't know if you saw much of the footy in the week. Yeah. I bet every single team in that Premier League hopes Arsenal keep playing out from the back.
Oh, it... Rob, how many times?
That would have been two.
I mean, it's arrogance.
Why? But Rico, what point when you go, we're actually losing goals and costing us games? Do you go, right, I tell you what, we'll biff this one.
But I couldn't believe it. You know, after that Burnley farce, you know, Granit Xhaka, Mikel Arteta comes afterwards. Oh, yeah, well, you know, no blame is attached. You know, we're going to try and do this. It's ridiculous. I mean, the people like Bill Shankly would be turning in their grave. You know, what is wrong with getting rid? It's just, especially with the fantastic pressing from a lot of teams, it's almost impossible to play out from the back.
But you sort of go now.
It's like a badge of honour to play out from the back. It's ridiculous.
But surely now the tactic from because teams are pressing you, you know... Go long, because all their players are up the pitch. Ping it long. So it's honest, I cannot get the head around it.
But what often happens is you have seven or eight passes around the back and then suddenly somebody does launch it. Well, the keeper could have done that 5 minutes before. Mm. It's ridiculous. I mean, okay, you don't expect the goalkeeper like the old days just to hoof it, you know, ad lib up front, but... Let's have a bit of balance between it. You know, at times you can play out if there's a bit of space, but not always. It's shocking. As you say, it's a recipe for disaster.
What we're hoping that Charlie comes back in on his Gibraltar. Is he back?
I can see and hear you perfectly.
Oh, you're back. You were just about to tee up Cheltenham when you froze, but you're back. If you can hear us, we've been talking about playing out from the back.
Well, I didn't see Arsenal particularly last night. I watched more Spurs in the Manchester United game. But, I mean, it's a trend. As John said, it's almost a badge of honour. And you've got to play like this now. Whether your defenders can actually pull it off seems to be irrelevant. I mean,
or your goalkeeper as well.
Or importantly, of course, your goalkeeper. I thought, talking of goalkeeping, I thought that was interesting as well, that Dean Henderson, of course, who played well, and, you know, you think to yourself, David De Gea is under real pressure now, and there's another clean sheet for Manchester United and goal against Milan. And I don't know, I think that was one for the cameras, wasn't it? Henderson was trying to push that over the bar instead of, to me, almost catching her and things like that. But that was the game I watched. But we've discussed this earlier. I mean, it's crackers and nobody, as you say, the Manchester City goalkeeper is very good with the ball on his feet. Liverpool's tried to do that, of course, and conceded a goal at Leicester last season, and he always is fragile. The one thing you would say about Pickford, he's always got Captain Cock up as there or thereabouts, but he's quite good with the ball at his feet, and for that reason, probably alone, he will get the start for England, I think, in the World Cup, because I think Southgate wants to play a similar.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think, what goes against Nick Pope, to me, from the side, is possibly he's not as good as if he... You're on fire today. You tear me up. What did you say there? My mind, I was going on to... Oh, yeah, that's right. Dean Henderson, amazing in the papers. Okay, he's getting criticism for the mistake last night. For Sheffield United last year, I think we all said he was probably the best goalkeeper in the division, without question. He's going to be England's goalkeeper. He's going to be a star. Now Manchester United are talking about, I think we need another goalkeeper, and Dean Henderson. I just wonder, you're looking at Sheffield United going, OK, Dean Henderson wants to be Manchester United goalkeeper. And he's done well at the Ramsdale, Sheffield United. But Dean Henderson at Sheffield United, what a waste. What a waste of him not playing for Sheffield United. He's played, what, I don't know, Rico, 9 games, has he, or something, 10 games this season?
Yeah, but I was talking to somebody about that earlier on in the season, and I don't think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been very fair, because he told Dean Henderson, according to my source, that you will be in the first team if you deserve to be. Now, we know David De Gea, who's been a fantastic goalkeeper for 4 or 5 seasons, hasn't had the best of, well, for the last 18 months, hasn't been at the top of his game. So I think Henderson has been let down a little bit. He should have played more games for Manchester United. And now he's in, it'd be very interesting if he stays in, because De Gea will obviously be back after paternity leave. You've ever heard that before, paternity leave, but there we go. We're in a different world that way. When he comes back, it's going to be very interesting. But I do think on goalkeepers, and we've mentioned this before, I don't think the standard is very good. Now, I don't know if that's to do with the lighter ball, that it swerves. I mean, goalkeepers now don't catch, they punch or whatever. I think it is a lot more difficult, but I think the standard generally isn't as high as it has been in recent years. You know, Charlie's on about Jordan Pickford, you know, England's number one, makes mistakes quite regularly, but makes outstanding saves as well. Nick Pope, decent. But, you know, we're not in the Shilton sort of Gordon Banks, Peter Benetti, you know, era, are we? You know,
Ray Clements, I'm going to chuck in there as well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Southall.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely, yeah.
No, I think I said on a show, I said, there's a lot of goalkeepers around, and quite rightly, Charlie corrected me and said, yeah, there are a lot of decent goalkeepers around, but they're probably only decent. He's right, isn't he? But I guess at the moment, Pickford's the one, certainly for England, isn't he?
Yeah, it is. I think we all think that that's what the way Southgate is going down. Whether he deserves it is, you know, because there are flaws. Exactly what we said. Pope isn't good with the ball at his feet, and Henderson. And I'm sorry to say, I thought that was a crass error and one that could cost Manchester United dearly. Yes, they will get in the Champions League next season, certainly after that fantastic result at Man City last weekend. They will get into the Champions League, but silverware is what they're after. I, for the first time, I've written a piece this weekend and sort of said that not only do I think at this moment I've been so impressed, and again, shoot me down and say I'm overreacting, but I've been so impressed with Tuchel's Chelsea that I think that not only are they the biggest threat to Manchester City next season, at, you know, again, you know, my thoughts on Liverpool, that Liverpool, it was only a match, but I think not only are they the biggest threat next season, I think they're the biggest threat to maybe this clean sweep as well, that they're almost on a par with Bayern Munich as a big danger. They're 12-1 for the Champions League. You know, they play Atletico, but they're a goal up, so they should you know, make it through to the quarterfinals. But more importantly as well, they're still in the FA Cup, and they've got a home game with Sheffield United, I think, in the FA Cup. You know, I've been really impressed with this, and I like the way whatever team he plays, whatever team, he left Mountover out against Everton as well, and they're all hungry, and they're all, but they, five successive clean sheets. John, could you think earlier in the season that Frank Lampard's Chelsea would keep five successive home Premier League clean sheets?
But I know which team I'd rather watch. But I agree with you.
You tell Carlo Ancelotti. Because we watched them. We had 11 fellas watching them.
In terms of efficiency, yeah, they are fantastic. It's a typical German team for me. They're pragmatic, but they don't stir the emotions. I think the right time to judge Thomas Tuchel, who is a good manager, no doubt about it, is this time next year. Let's see what the fans think when they're back. Because you talk to Chelsea fans, yeah, they're happy with the results, but they're not exactly enthused with what they're watching. It's effective. They're not scoring many goals. But you're right, Charlie, defensively, he's got it sussed. You know,
I disagree that it's just done. It was probably wrong for me to highlight the five successive clean sheets. I think this is a good team. I think there's nothing wrong with having two holding midfield players.
No, it's a good team, Charlie.
For to go and play out.
I'm not saying it's not a good team. It is a good team, but it's not so.
And he will have his first transfer window. That, you know, and he's got to get rid of. You know, I keep hearing banging on when this guy. The guy from Ajax with the left foot, as Ajax came, I kept hearing people, oh, he's got a sweet left foot. He's got. Why don't people say people have got a sweet right foot?
Yeah.
He can't run. He doesn't do a great deal. He's on his way. He'll go. And I think that you're right. Tuchel will have his time on the transfer window as well. Sorry, I've just been singularly impressed with him.
Charlie, I can't argue what you've said. For me, they're not so pleasing on the eye, that's all. We all like different types of music, don't we? Some people like certain music, and blah, blah, blah.
You were born in the USA, though, of course.
I've got to just jump in on the Chelsea thing as well. This is also a Tuchel side without Tammy Abrams, Ben Chilwell, and Christian Pulisic, which he's made a kind of decision, not a decision on, but they've not really been figured. We'll move on to something else. I hate to harp back, and maybe Rick, because I read this stuff and I understand it and I don't understand it, but the bottom thing is it just drives me mad. Andrea Agnelli, the Juventus...
Don't get me going on him.
You know, the Swiss Champions League and Steve Parrish was great this week from Crystal Palace, yeah. Saying it's just wreck. The football, correct me if I'm wrong, it's pure selfishness, it's pure greed, and it's sod everybody else.
I think he's looking at the coefficient now to bring Juventus back into the competition this season. You know,
if ever there was karma this week, that was it, wasn't it?
It's all about self-preservation. It's all about getting richer. It's not about, you know, the fans who enjoy all levels of competition, you know, competitive football. It's about sort of annexing certain clubs. It's pathetic. Football is about competition. It's about having dreams. It's about a fourth division club dreaming of going into the Premier League, into Europe. But people like that will stop it. You know, it would be a closed shop. And that's not what football's about. Come 2024, they'll have a shop because fans won't want this. Because... let's face it, the Champions League doesn't get going to the round of 16. And now we're going to ditch that, we're going to have more sort of league games, and it's pointless.
Just a straw poll. I'm watching it. It was some great football this week, but if it's AC Milan were very attractive last night, but if it's PSG versus Seville or whatever, I'm not reaching for the on button to go, wow, I really want to watch this. I'd much rather watch Burnley against Brighton or something. I personally would. What's your take on it?
Well, that's right. I agree. And I think, well, the fans clubs have already had their say this week, the fans, whatever they are, foundation, they've said, no, we don't want this. You know, we're not interested in this European, because it's really by stealth a European Super League, isn't it?
Charlie, what's your take?
I thought the two Tuesday night second legs were two of the greatest games of football I've seen, and channel hopping in those games.
Yeah.
To see Dortmund, Seville, Juventus, Porto. That Juventus Porto game was theatre. It was sensational. It was absolutely the much maligned Pepe as well. I mean, they're not going to win the Champions League, and I don't think Juventus ever were, but that was fantastic. But as John said, that of course is knockout football. You know, the if you were talking about this in November, you know, yes, you will watch 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 of the Champions League games, largely the Premier League sides, because you want to keep abreast, etc. But those knockout games were just sensational. And, even I watched Liverpool's game as well, and I thought they played well.
Rico, Nat Phillips has become a cult hero, which I don't know says something about, I mean, love him. Somebody actually mentioned Joey Jones. There was a sort of Joey Jones about him. He's probably not the long-term answer, but it says something about where Liverpool are, doesn't it, at the moment?
Rob, I'm absolutely delighted for him because...
So am I.
I did a piece early in the season with his dad.
Everybody jumped on him, haven't they? Everybody loves him.
Yeah, I did a piece with his dad, Jimmy. He used to play for Bolton. And he's a lovely bloke, Jimmy. And I don't know Nat as well, but he seems to be a good lad. And it is a Joey Jones type, isn't it? You know, sort of, you know,
up. Heads it farther than he can kick it kind of thing, yeah.
And also, I think that Liverpool fans, other fans as well, can relate to it. You know, He's a lad that not many people know about. He obviously loves playing football. He's a virtual unknown, and there he is. You know, man of the match. Absolutely fantastic. It's a great football story. Love it.
I know Charlie's smiling because he wants Nat Phillips to keep playing for Liverpool for the next 10 years, won't you?
Do you know, I didn't know that he'd been on loan in not in a Bundesliga but in the second division. Looked at me play. He played really well. We obviously know he's not the answer, but I want to know where this Ben Davis is. At least he made the bench, didn't they? I think Liverpool had about 50 people on the bench and things like that. But I don't know. I was out of all the Liverpool defeats recently, the one at Everton, Chelsea, you could almost. But I thought the one against Fulham last weekend was abject. And if it was not for the midweek success, you really would be talking of crisis at Liverpool. That against Fulham was and you just think that, you know, we've been banging on about it. John especially has been banging on about it. But there is something rotten in the state of Denmark, and I would be a big price for Salah and Mane to line up on the opening day of the next Premier League season, both wearing a Liverpool shirt. I would be very, very surprised.
Rico, you wrote the story about Jurgen Klopp. He came categorically out and said, no, I'm not interested in the German job, didn't he?
Yeah, I think it's the wrong timing. It's a summer too soon. I think if it had gone after the World Cup, I think there would be a chance of Jurgen going. But I think this has come too soon. But as I've said before, and, you know, Charlie's mentioned it, it all is not well behind the scenes. Not well with Jurgen and the owners, and also Mo Salah. I had an interesting talk with somebody who knows Mo Salah's agent very well, and actually went out to dinner with him this week in Dubai, which is a bit of a hint there, Rob. And Salah is not happy. I mean, it's evident, isn't he? He's not happy. He would like to go elsewhere, but where do you go? I mean, where is that? Because Barcelona got no money. Real Madrid aren't the team they were. Paris Saint-Germain, maybe. And he's looking for a big pay rise. So all is not well.
Can I just go on to another Liverpool or ex-Liverpool player? Which it's just, it fascinates me in terms of maybe you say the black and white of headline writing that the editors like. Rian Brewster at Sheffield United has scored 11 goals in 22 games for Swansea last season. Okay, albeit in the Championship, you know, starred in the under-17 World Cup side, goal scorer goes. Why? What's happened to Rian Brewster? What's your thoughts on Rian Brewster at Sheffield United, who spent, what was it, £23 million on?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I saw him a couple of times for Swansea last season. I thought, yeah, he's okay. You know, he's got a chance. And I was shocked that Sheffield United paid that sort of money. And I think Liverpool were as well. And it's, for me, I'm afraid, I love Chris Wilder, I think he's fantastic, but it's bad recruitment. And it's blown up in his face because a club like Sheffield United cannot make a mistake. They cannot waste 23, 24 million, which I'm afraid they have, because Brewster hasn't scored, has he? Hasn't scored a goal.
But the only thing, Rico, there's surely something in it that he went to the wrong club. I mean, if he'd have been playing for Liverpool now, for example, or playing for a side, it goes back to, if somebody's creating chances, surely he's a lot better player than the chances he's had, certainly, at Sheffield United.
Well, I've only seen him, I've seen him three or four times now. I would say he's a decent Championship player.
Okay.
I don't think he's a Premier League player. Might be proved wrong. I mean, he did well, obviously, for Liverpool's junior sides. He was well-liked at Liverpool. They thought, you know, he was going to go places, but they also, I know, that they in the transfer to Sheffield United, they can have him back for a certain amount of money, but I don't think that's going to happen. Like, personally, I don't think he was top class.
We've got to finish here because I, purely selfishly, I've got to belt off. But of course,
don't worry about us then.
I know. Thanks. Listen, I've got to finish on. I know they've had their say, and Ian Wright has apologised to Lacazette. But I was thinking, Charlie, when Rico, the greatest centre half partnership that never people haven't really seen was McCaffrey and McCann.
Unequivocal, yeah. Nobody doubts that, really.
Nobody doubts that. And I remember, you know, I actually broke my kneecap at Loughborough University. I think we lost about 10-1, Charlie. But you know what? I don't remember screaming. I certainly saw you when you know somebody elbowed you in the face or what. I never, in all my time playing football, I've never heard anybody scream. Have you?
No, again, you probably, there was a left-sided centre-back for Liverpool, and he was the first one going back, he got tackled on the halfway line, and he screamed, and everybody knew there's nothing.
Who was it? You know, can I remember who it was?
The left Norwegian, Scandinavian guy, good player, and he was the first one, and at the time, I remember thinking, well...
Kwame, was it? Kwame.
No, it wasn't Kwame. Kwame was a fullback. No, this is a left-sided, not a legend in Liverpool, but a fine player. And he was, and then it's just slowly permeated to now it is just acceptable and it's the norm. And you've got, you know, it's the boy who cried wolf because surely referees are going to have to take a stance as, you know, look, you know, there's nothing wrong with you. And then sometime, of course, you get, you know, what you do, because everyone knows that if your team's winning 1-0, you scream and you roll around. And they're rolling around. It's hysterical. But I'm afraid it is now part and parcel, and whether we like it or not. But it is the bane of my, you know, I will, you know, I'm on, like everybody in the solar system on WhatsApp groups, and the expletives coming out. And generally, about 80% of them are with regard to Premier League footballers rolling round on the floor when I know, the referee knows, his teammates know, there's nothing, the physios who come on the pitch know, there's nothing wrong with them. But one of these days, of course, one of them is going to be injured. And I don't know. It's scandalous.
Rico, what's, I mean, it's I don't know whether they're doing it in training. I said, Kieran Tierney seems to me a particular culprit when you're thinking tough Scott from Glasgow, you know, and he's yelping away. And I'm thinking, you know what, just stop it, please. You're embarrassing yourself.
It's right. It's embarrassing. It's pathetic. And also, it doesn't help referees. Referees, you know, get a lot of stick. But as Charlie said, you know, somebody's going to cry wolf and somebody's going to be badly injured and the referee's going to get the blame for not stopping play or something. I remember Bobby Robson. He would not have it. He would not have players diving. So I do think managers can play a role in this by stopping their players doing this because it's embarrassing. You know, when we were back at school, you know, you'd get up straight away. You wouldn't want somebody to know you've been hurt. You know, as I said, a badge of honour, you know, you get up straight away, even if your nose was all over the show or whatever. I mean, look at Steve Bruce. Steve Bruce would never have screamed, you know, look
at Bruce's nose. Listen, I forgot. Cheltenham next week, Charlie. Have you got one, two that we can look out for?
Like most people, I think the nap is probably going to be most of it, but that is no mugfish rather, but that is no price. Ellie May on Friday, I really do think in a poor race. If it could be a big week for the girls, and I think the Mers hurdle will be won by Concertista, and I think the Mers chase, this is the inaugural Mers chase, will be won by Ellie May. I was a big Clampett's fan, Beverly Hillbillies, so I've always had Ellie May, should we say, on side. If you remember, Beverly Hillbillies at all, but Ellie May was, of course, the beautiful daughter. anyway, that's another story, I suppose.
Which is another story, which we'll come back to next week. Thanks, lads. Have a great week. See you, Rico.
See you, guys. Charlie. Gold Cup this time next week.
Go on, give us one for the Gold Cup. Who's your fancy?
Oh, no. Champ.
Yeah.
I do.
With that, I'll see you soon.
Cheers. See you, guys.